So today we're going to talk about how we become that entity that loves God, loves others, and goes. We're going to be looking again at the second portion here of our installment in living a circumcised life in our church. So if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, because that's where we're going to begin. We're going to begin in the book of Romans, and then we're going to move forward from there. And to me, this little scripture that we're going to be looking at, it's only two verses, and Paul here is talking about the church. He's talking to the church, and he's giving us the book of Romans is a wonderful book as it is. It's one of the most complete treatises on being a Christian, from the individual and the need of salvation all the way through the church and unto how God has set us up and given us high priest, et cetera, through Christ. So it's really just filled with doctrine. And as I look at this doctrine from Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, that's where we're going to be, Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, there are two principles that are given to us from this simple little verse, okay? And I've broken it down into two very small pieces, and I want us to understand something, because when we're thinking about a circumcised life in the church, how we live that circumcised life in a church, how we become that circumcised life, one of the things that I want us to remember is if we're truly living in Christ Jesus, if we're truly living that circumcised life, that transformed life, the church is health in the midst of isolation. Okay, I want you to think about our world. Our world isolates everybody. And you may think, I'm connected to 500 people. Just look at my iPhone. You are completely isolated by that iPhone because you have not been in any one of those presence. All they are is a way of escaping reality. Okay? And it's such a sad state, because we live in a state, we live in, and I'm not talking Pennsylvania, I'm talking the culture of our day. Whether you live here in America, whether you live in South America, whether you live in Europe, wherever you live, we live as a culture, and I'm talking the first world culture, not third world culture, okay? If you live in a first world, what is called a first world country, we live in a culture of isolationism. Because it's what we have been taught. Because Satan wants us isolated, that he can have his way with us. That is why so many people are depressed today. We live in an era when you can connect with more people than you could ever have connected with before. Okay? Because of that iPhone, it can be a good thing, but it is also a very bad thing in that people don't connect with people. There's a story out there of a young lady who was so concerned about her parents because, you know, she just felt that they weren't doing anything with their lives. You know, they're all wrapped up about themselves. You know, she has over 500 friends on Facebook, but her mom and dad, you know, it's just the two of them. Well, the reality was mom and dad began riding bikes. And so they were getting out into the community and they were meeting people, okay? They didn't meet 500 people, but they were literally meeting people. They would stand at the fruit counter and fruit juice counter, and when they're drinking fruit juice on their bike rides and what have you. And it was amazing, because this daughter said, "But mom, you know, I have 500 friends." And her mom looked at her and said, "Really? How many have you interacted with today?" And she said, "Oh, well, I've talked to almost all of them." She said, "No, you didn't. You didn't open your mouth. You used your thumbs." Okay? So again, it's a different perspective, and we don't realize that we are, it's all in here. This is the isolation that we have. It's in our heads. And we wonder why people are struggling, because they have no human contact. Do you know in Russia, they did a test. This is truth. This has been, and people should have gone to jail for this, but it was a test that they did. They had 50 babies, and they gave them all the contact that they could give them. And they had 50 babies, and they gave them absolutely no contact. All they did, the only contact they had, was to be given a bottle and their diapers changed. This is truth. This is a true story. This happened in the 1940s. This happened during World War II. The 50 babies that did not receive touch died. Every one of them. I mean, that's deplorable to think that such a thing would happen, but it proves a point. We need contact. We need contact. Without contact, we will literally die. Okay? That's truth. It's why our world, I mean, how many people in our world today are taking antidepressant medicines and all kinds of medications that are out there? I mean, I got one nurse back here shaking her head, yeah, because that's what she does. She's the lady who stands behind the counter and hands out the pills, okay? And she hates it, and rightly so, because we know the answer isn't a pill. Isn't that right, Miss Clara? The answer is Jesus Christ, and that's why she's where she is, so she can give the true RX. Who is Jesus Christ. But today, we need to understand that that prescription needs to be written for the church. Let's read this word together, okay, out loud, the whole thing, verses 4 and 5. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Now there's two points in here. The first is that we all are members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, okay? Just like our human body has different parts, and it all has different functions, so too in the body of Christ, we have different parts, and all of us have a function. And we understand that, and people say, oh, well, that's where the gifts, you know, the spiritual gifts that are given to the church. And I'll agree with that, and I'll say yes to that, because that truly is a part of who we are and how God has equipped us. He has given us the spiritual gifts that each of us have been given so that we can build up the church. However, He's also given us your character. He has given us who you are as an individual. God used the early writers of the New Testament for a very, very real reason. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all four different, very different people. And when we read their Gospels, they're all a little bit different, aren't they? We would expect that in an eyewitness report of something that happened, because each person comes at it from their world of influence, all right? So Mark writes in one manner, Luke writes in another manner, John writes in another manner, and as we think about these brothers as they're writing, they are helping us each to receive from their personal perspective, not their giftedness, because their gift is the Holy Spirit, okay? They got it all. And can we get the Holy Spirit out of simple words written in a book? Well, the truth of that is yes and no, all right? Yes and no. If the Holy Spirit's in us, it'll recognize the Word of God. Amen? However, if it's just words, we can still learn from those words that are being given to us from the different perspectives. Luke writes from the perspective of a doctor, okay? He uses technical language. Now, do we see that in the English? No, unfortunately we don't. Because it's been translated into English from the Greek. But if we went back to the Greek and looked at the words that he was using medical language so that people would understand that Jesus Christ was fully human. Okay? He was writing from such a manner that this is the man of God, fully human, real. You can touch him. Okay? Everything about him was genuine. All right? When we look at Matthew, Matthew writes as the perspective that he is the King of Kings. Because Matthew was a Jew. Matthew was actually a tax collector. Okay? He was one who had submitted himself to Caesar. He was under the rule of Caesar. And now all of a sudden the tax collector is recognizing a new king. Someone even far greater. So do you see how he was using the personalities of these people to touch? That's what He needs us to do. Not just to use our spiritual giftedness, not just to use the Holy Spirit, but to use you. Because the Holy Spirit's Him. But He wants to use you. Okay? He wants the broken nature of each and every one of us. He wants the good nature of each and every one of us to help touch other lives. Because lest you yourself have been broken, how do you think you can touch somebody else? If you cannot recognize where someone else is, how can you help them? Do we know the difference between sympathy and empathy? What is sympathy? Come on, this is a real question. What's that? You feel bad for them, okay? What is empathy? You understand, because you've been in a very similar position, correct? The one is a feeling, the other is an experience. God wants us to use our empathy into sympathy. Please understand that. God wants us to use our empathy into sympathy, because sympathy is working it out. Sympathy is getting involved in it. It's taking that feeling and moving with it. I can feel for a lot of people, but I can't help them if I've not been through it, because I really don't know what to do. So God is going to use you in your brokenness. God is going to use you in the stuff that you are, that you may be the help that they need. Because through the power of the Holy Spirit, He's brought you through some things, hasn't He? He's brought me through some things. And we can touch each other's lives in a very real way and walk with someone. Now, in our world, we don't walk with anybody. In our world, we're all islands, okay? When was the last time you walked through Wally World and smiled at everybody that walked past you? Okay? I think it's funny, because when you walk through Wally World, eye contact is about 0.2 seconds. You're walking through and you feel like a pinball machine bouncing off of the rubbers, you know what I mean? Because you don't make eye contact, you don't latch on to people, because we're isolated. That's not the way we're supposed to be, because that isolation is unhealthy. That's why Brother David loves to go into Walmart, because he's looking. And that first set of eyes that hits his, wham, he's gotcha. Okay? And he's able to talk to anybody at any point in time. That's Brother David. That's his evangelism coming out. But that's also his personality. God has worked him out that way. God has worked you and I out in a certain way, that each of us has things that we can give to each other. Okay? All of that giftedness, whether it's spiritual giftedness or whether it's the experience of our lives, please remember, this is what is being talked about here. People want to spiritualize the Scriptures. I don't want to spiritualize everything. I want the Spirit of God to speak to me, amen? But I also need to have one foot firmly planted on the soil, lest I be of no earthly good. So we need to remember the very things that God has brought you through and has done in your life. He has allowed those things to come. God works all things to good, right? Only to those who love Him. All right? Please understand that. To those who love Him, God works all things to good. And that good may be the healing of someone else. Oh, wow, you mean God could have allowed that to happen years ago. He knew it was going to come because people were sinful people and things are going to happen. And He may have allowed it to come because He knew you were going to choose Him and that He was going to be able to glorify you and glorify Himself as you helped somebody else come through something that you went through. Okay? And I know that is what it's all about. How do I know that? Because He's done that very thing with me. And God is the same once in a while. That's eternity. He is the same God always. That's the way I like to say it. He is the same God always and in all ways. He's done this from the beginning of time. As he has brought people through, he has used them to teach others. That's why he says, teach these things to the children. Train them up in the way they shall go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. So when you and I look back, we need to remember God has started this process a long time ago, before the church ever existed. Because before he had the church, he had his chosen people who were supposed to be doing the very thing that the church is supposed to be doing right now. Gee, it's kind of funny how we were talking about that today in discipleship. Because God knows that he needs all of us to make it work. Because not every one of us knows everything. We've not been through every experience. But we've all had a different experience, haven't we? But together, we become an entity that can reach the world and heal the world. The entity of Christ in our world. The second thing that he says here is verse 5. He said, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And this is one of the parts that I really love. And individually members one of another. Individually members of one another. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means you do not belong to yourself. Okay? I want you to think about this. When you got married to your spouse, those of you who are married, the two became one. When you become part of the church, you are now married to Christ. And all of us who are his bride become one with him. So we are no longer our own. We belong each to the other. So all the things that you have been through, all the things that you have done, all the things that are going to happen to you also happen to me. This is one of the things I've had a hard time kind of teaching some of our young people, because they don't understand how what happens in my life can affect your life. Isn't it so amazing? You know, I think about this all the time. We have a president in the office in Washington, D.C. How does he affect my life? Greatly. Okay? It's the same principle on another level. We don't understand. We forget that each and every one of us affects the person next to us. When we are intrinsically tied to a church, we are intrinsically tied to one another. So when one member of the body is hurting, the whole body should be hurting. All right? We've got a young lady out there right now who's healing. We've got a young man out there right now who's healing. Well, I shouldn't say young. They're about middle-aged, okay? You know, Charles and Riley, they would be young, right? Dee Dee and Shy Shy, they would be young, right? So we have some middle-aged people out there. How many of us can identify with middle age? Who need some help? What should the church be doing? We should be reaching out, okay? Now, many of us are going to say, yeah, but I'm not here for lunch. I don't care if you're here for lunch. You don't have to be here for lunch. Do you make supper? Do you have leftovers? Pack them up and take a trip. When she eats, it doesn't matter. The fact that she has something to eat does. And the fact that we, the body, are stepping out and helping one of ours who's falling short because of illness needs our help. If we can't help those within our own body, how are we supposed to draw people into the body? We're not going to. We're not healthy. Okay? You see, I started this with the premise, the church is health in the midst of isolation. Here we have one of our own who's isolated. Now, I'm going to say this, and I you know, Terry, I know you're going to listen to this, and I know you're going to hear it, but you've also isolated yourself. Because for a time, you weren't coming and you weren't contacting anybody. You see, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. But that does not mean we who are the church are not supposed to reach out to those who have isolated themselves. In fact, that's one of the places that we're supposed to, because it says in the scriptures that once a sheep is lost, that we are supposed to go after them. That's your job as the church, to go after that lost sheep. Okay? And we need to remember that Terry was one of those who was out there on the fringe. Things were happening in her life. You know, she had a bunch of stuff going on, and she was separated from us. But she wasn't calling us, letting us know what was going on. But how many of us were calling her to find out what was going on? Do you see how one tongue tattles on the other? We all belong one to another, all right? If my stomach is bothering me, do you think my head doesn't know it? You betcha. If my stomach's bothering me, do you think my attitude doesn't know it? Ask Lynn. You betcha. Okay? In the same manner, so too are we as an entity. And as we are giving of our gifts are here for a purpose. What is the purpose of our gifts? And if you want to look this up, you can turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Because there is one chapter that lays this thing out and lays it down several times within the chapter. Because again, Paul here is speaking to the church about health, about what we're supposed to be about as a church and why these things are given. Because from verse 14, or chapter 14, in verse 3, we find a very good reason why we are supposed to be operating the way we are. Now, people are going to say, well, Pastor, you're picking out scriptures. Yes, I am, because I'm talking about giftedness, all right? It says, but one who prophesies speaks to men for and in verse 12, so also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek to abound for. And then over in verse 23, or 26, excuse me. What is the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble? Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done. So as we are about our giftedness, as we are about our work in the church, as we are about our circumcision, it's not to tear each other down or point fingers or to make blame. It's for the building up. It's for the edification. It's for the comfort. It's for the exhortation. But what I see happening in the church and in the world, because it's what our world does, all we have to do is turn on the news. When was the last time you heard a good news report? All we do is tear things down, tear it down, tear it down, tear it down, tear it down. You know, Donald Trump is so right. There's so much fake news out there today. I am so glad we turned our TV off in August. It broke. Praise Jesus. Can I get an hallelujah? Amen. And I haven't turned it on since. When I want the news, I go on the internet and I pull up what I want. I look for real news. Okay? Because what was coming across during the elections, right there before that, because that's when my TV broke. Oh, and I'm not kidding you. I praise Jesus for that. There was so much garbage. And there's still so much garbage because they're all sitting there, wah, wah. You know, we can't be at the in the room when they're talking to the rest of the press. Start telling truth, and maybe we'll allow you in. Start being newscasters and not dictators, and maybe we'll let you in. And it's the same way for us in the church. If we want to let people in, if we think God's going to let people in, we need to stop the negative stuff. Next week, I'm going to be talking about building and demolition. Okay? Building and demolition. Because there's one tool that will build the church, and that very same tool tears down the church. You get to think of what that tool is. But for now, what I want you to think about is, how are we as the church building each other up? Or are we tearing each other down? You know, we need to really live that circumcised life where if you got a problem with a brother or sister, suck it up and go talk to them. Don't talk to 10 other people about them. Because when you're doing that, all you're doing is putting up walls. You are building walls that are literally tearing down the church, because the church cannot function with all those walls inside of it. You are making rooms that the Holy Spirit can't even begin to penetrate, because they're rooms within your own heart and within your own mind. And we need to understand that God wants to tear those things down, and it's through edification. It's through comfort, it's through peace, it's through words of encouragement that we will find the church being built. God is so versed in how to build, because God spoke and it happened. Do you think God was criticizing you in the darkness? You know, was he up there being critical about the darkness? No, he simply spoke the goodness. He spoke Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came in to the picture, everything became that is and ever will be. Amen? And Jesus says, what? Come unto me. Come unto me, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's so amazing, because all we want to do is add more crud to the package, don't we? Because we want people to carry all this stuff. And I want people to see where that... Well, you know, and this is one of the things I hate, and I'm going to spoil next week. But I want you to think about how many times a conversation has come up, and you know a little tidbit about this person that is being spoken about, and you just can't wait to spit it out. Let me ask you a question. Does it carry enough weight to really spit it out? Think about that. Come back next week and we'll see what that means. Okay? But today, what I want us to understand is we belong to each other. And if you belong to me and I belong to you, do I want to tear you down, Miss Donnie? I should want to build you up, right? Because if we're one together, I should want you to achieve the greatest goal that God has for you. Okay? Because if you're able to achieve your greatest goal, what's that going to do for me? I'm just saying, okay? I want you to think about it a little bit differently. If each and every one of you, Ruth Ann, if you were doing great things for God, how would that look upon me, who is you? You know, I call you sis all the time. I'm your brother. How would that look on me? Oh, no, it would look great, because I get to wear what you're doing. But if I, on the other hand, am, well, you don't understand, Ruth Ann, la, 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 la. But if I'm encouraging her and she's out there excelling, you know, don't you think that's going to help me to excel? And everybody that's around us, aren't we all going to begin to excel? We're going to say, oh, man, do you see the wonderful things that are going on over there? And then we got to, you know, when good things are happening, we want to get involved, don't we? But when bad things are happening, what happens to the church? We kind of back off. And that's what's happening in the church in our world. That's what's happening, because right now Satan has us so divided against one another. Do you know why? That's why all the denominations are out there. Because all they've been is divisions. Divisions of divisions of divisions of divisions of divisions. To tear down the church. He's been at it since the beginning. And he'll continue to do it until he has us all standing individually before him. I want you to think about that. Wide is the road that leads to perdition. I think we just heard that today. And narrow is the road that leads to salvation, and few find it. But when we do find it, we find that we're not alone. And that's what I want us to understand. We are not alone. We belong one to another. And if we're willing to live our lives in that way, we will come far. The second thing that I want us to understand is that the church is self-healing and self-replicating. If we're going to live a truly, truly circumcised life, we are going to become self-healing and self-replicating. Now, that does not mean that, you know, they spoke to Jesus when he was on the cross, right? Well, if he's really the Son of God, let him get himself down off of there. Now, that's not what it's talking about, all right? Because what it's talking about is, Bob, you can't heal yourself, all right? If you could, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay? He and I, we've got a lot of similar history, okay? And we know, I think he knows what I'm talking about here. But because you and I have been through a lot of similar things, iron sharpens iron, right? So you and I can talk about some of this stuff, and between the two of us, we have accountability. We have strength. And a cord of three is not easily broken. Who's the third, Bob? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay? Let's look at the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, and we are going to be in verse 11, and the reason I'm going all the way back to 11 is because I want you to see, again, this deals with the giftedness, and that giftedness, I truly believe, goes beyond the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but into the giftedness of each individual, who you are and the experiences that you have, okay? For verse 11, he says this, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Amen? That's what we're talking about here, right? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How many of you are there yet? I don't know about you, but I got scaffolds around this guy, and we are building. And I'm telling you, there's jackhammers going on this thing. Because I got a lot of work that needs done in me. And I'm pretty sure that there might be a little in you yet, right? Okay. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And boy, that is what the world does. The world wants us to get involved with all this stuff and hooked on the fact of our own individualism, our own identity, which is what? Pulling us out of the body of Christ, that we not only belong to ourselves and belong to Christ, but we belong one to another. Again, please understand, that's a doctrine. And it's being promulgated through the airwaves, through the TV, through every piece of information that is coming at you from this world to get you isolated so it can devour you. Moving on. But, and here's, I love buts, don't you? Not that kind. I'm telling you, these kids, they need to grow up into the maturity we were just talking about, right? Charles's face is all red, and I'm just picking on him. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Did you catch that? Listen to what he says. Being held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. not in deceit, not in harsh thinking, not in critical words, in love. As we love each other and as we allow the maturity of Christ to come over us and to fill us and move us forward, each and every one of us, we're the joints, and we are going to supply that which is needed from our lives, from our experiences, from our teaching. This is why discipleship is so important. We really need to be plugged into discipleship. And I mean that with all my heart, because in that discipleship, we're teaching each other what we all know. And there are some of you out there who are saying, yeah, but I don't know that much. Yeah, but you know something I don't, because you lived a life I haven't lived. And God has touched you in a very certain and specific way, and I need to know what that was so I can learn a portion of God that I've never known before. That's how important you are. God has gifted you with gifts that I could never touch. But you get to share them so I can learn. Wow, he did what? He's able to do what? Oh my goodness. And that gives me hope and allows me to grow and allows you to grow and allows us to heal ourselves because we are connected to the head, the sustainer. You see, everybody thinks in our world the head's the top of the thing. In Christ Jesus, the head is the root of the thing because out of him, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus gave us that analogy for a reason, because the root is who? God the Father. Jesus is the vine that connects us to God the Father. But guess what is the power that brings us life? That's the Holy Spirit, the sap. All right? He is the sap of life. And from him comes all the power and all the strength. If you don't have the sap of life, you have nothing, because you have no way of doing anything. You are dead. Because if you're not connected to the root, pardon me, I'm preaching myself into a dry wind. If you aren't connected to that root and that eternal water, you know, he is the water of life, right? I mean, how many times are we told that the Holy Spirit is water? All right, he is that water of life that rises up into each and every one of us, and springs of living water will come from us, and that is unto the bearing of fruit. And when we understand that fruit is going to be other people's lives coming into the church and growing, that is going to be the healing of our own people within our congregations. Okay, there are so many folks out there who are seeking out professional help because they have this mental disorder. You know, we've got ADHD, DDP, HDQ, MYXZ, you know, you name it, and there's an alphabet soup that we've called it. Do you know what it is? Absence of God in most instances. Now, yes, there are some people who have physical, chemical imbalances. Would you agree with me on that? And when we give them the proper medications, they're great. But when a person simply is devoid of hope, you can't give a pill that makes that go away. Because all you do for that is medicate the person to get rid of the highs and get rid of the lows, and we walk around like a zombie all day long, not feeling. And that's not the way we were meant to be. Because we are meant to feel all things, because God feels all things. And it's only as we are connected, as we are self-healing, that we will see that kind of healing within the body. As we are self-replicating. Because once you get that going, what happens when a tree is connected to the root and the vine and the branches, and the warm weather comes, what happens to that tree? You know, buddy, how many of you are looking at the maple trees out there right now? They are so full of buds from these past 2 weeks that we had warm weather. I'm like, oh man, you know, the cold hits, I hope they survive. But you know what? Those trees are resilient. You know, I have one in my yard. It's got three trunks, and every one of them's about twice as big around as me. I know that tree's been there for at least 40 years, probably longer. I have no idea when it was planted. It's getting good water, I can guarantee you that. And it's resilient, because that life expectancy of that tree, if it were left untouched, how long is it? Some maple trees have been known to live 700 years. Do you think it's going to make it through this one? My question is, are we as a church going to make it through this one? Because if we're going to do it on our own, the answer to that question is no. But if we're going to do it relying on the Holy Spirit, if we're going to do it dependent upon being connected to the vine, if we're going to do it being dependent upon the root delivering to us that life-giving water, then we will bear fruit unto all righteousness. And I think it's amazing, because just this week, in fact, yesterday, I was at a brother's house, and we knocked the snot out of an apple tree. I mean, we cut half of it away. Well, Chris cut half of it away. I watched him. He was up there. What about this one? Yep, hack that one off too. I was telling him what to do. I'm good at that. But he put all the physical labor in it. The amazing thing is, half that tree's gone. Seriously. But this year, I can guarantee you, he's going to have apples this big. And he's going to pick a bushel basket of them, if not more, because he has cut back that tree, and now, because it's not wild and hairy, because it has been tamed, because it has been disciplined, because it has been brought into health, it's going to produce fruit that can be enjoyed by everyone in the house. I can't wait until he brings some of that in for us to share at the table. And you'll get to see exactly what I'm talking about. And that's what we need to be, pruned back to self-healing. We can't just let every wild hair go, because if we do, we're going to become so bad, so wild, that, yeah, we may bear fruit. It's going to be about that big around, hard and knotty, and nobody's going to want it. Or we can be pruned to health and vigor and produce the big fruit, the good fruit of God Almighty. And that's where I want us to be as a church. How about you? Because when we walk in that discipline, when we are sharing with each other what each other has and what each other is capable of, we can see health, understand it, know it, and grow. That's where I want to be. How about you? Let's undergo that circumcision, okay? Because that circumcision is the pruning. Let's take it for our good, and let us walk that we may bear fruit unto all righteousness in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray, and let us give God our thanks. Father God, we thank you so much that you love us enough to give us the word to help us understand how we are to live and how the church is to operate. But Lord, you give us this in such an encouraging way that Lord, you show each of us that all our junk is something that you've brought us through, and it can be used just like fertilizer to make the body grow. So Lord, I thank you that you have blessed us. I thank you that you can be a blessing through us, that as each of us submits to you, that we can find the health in the midst of isolation, and that we can find that self-healing in our body unto the replication of that very same into our community. Father God, thank you for giving us the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love that sustains and holds us each and every day. And all God's children said, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.